Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio, this 22nd day of January, 2024. I have a featured guest, Brandon. We're going to discuss weather warfare, which seemed to be going on apace all over the world, including, of course, right here in the USA. Before we get there, however, I want to begin with an interview Tucker Carlson did with Colonel Douglas McGregor, talking about Ukraine, and if the Ukrainian army is lost, if the Ukrainian army has been depleted, who's going to carry on the fight? The speculation. Could it be American troops? American boys sent to fight a war in Ukraine? That's going to be very popular here in the United States. Let's see what Tucker and the Colonel have to say.
Dan, why don't you go say hi to the new neighbor?
And of course, right after we get through the commercials. And now they're putting two of them. They're doubling them up so that you don't have just...
Pretty much everything that NBC News, the New York Times have told you about the war in Ukraine is a lie. The Russian army is incompetent, they claim. Ukraine is a democracy. Vladimir Putin is Hitler, and he's trying to take over the world. Thankfully, the Ukrainians are winning. None of that is true. Every claim is false, the last one especially. The Ukrainian army is not winning. In fact, it's losing badly. Ukraine is being destroyed. Its population is being slaughtered in lopsided battles with a technologically superior enemy, or scattered by the millions to the rest of the globe as refugees. Ukraine is running out of soldiers. As that happens, the question will inevitably arise, who's going to replace them? If the Ukrainians can't beat Putin, who will? The answer, of course, will be us. American troops will fight the Russian army in Eastern Europe. That's most likely. And the assumption is we'll win. But will we win? Probably not, says former Army Colonel Douglas McGregor, a decorated combat veteran who advised the Secretary of Defense in the last administration. The U.S., says McGregor, is on the brink of a catastrophic war that could very easily destroy us. Few Americans seem to understand that, but they should. Doug McGregor is now the CEO of Our Country, Our Choice, and we sat down with him recently. This conversation is worth hearing. Doug McGregor, thanks for joining us. How would you assess and describe the state of the war in Ukraine right now?
That's an important question, and not enough people have good answers at this point. I think all of the lies that have been told for more than a year and a half about the Ukrainians are winning, the Ukrainian cause is just, the Russians are evil, the Russians are incompetent, all of that is collapsing. And it's collapsing because what's happening on the battlefield is horrific. Ukrainians now, we think, have lost 400,000 men killed in battle. We were talking about 300, 350,000 a few months ago. The last month of this supposed counteroffensive, which was to sweep the battlefield, they lost at least 40,000 killed. We don't even know how many people have been wounded, but we know that probably upwards of 40 to 50,000 soldiers are amputees. We know the hospitals are full. And we know that Ukrainian units at the platoon and company level, that's with anywhere from 50 to 150 to 200 men, are in piecemeal fashion surrendering to the Russians. Not because they don't want to fight, it's because they can't fight anymore. They have so many wounded, they can't evacuate them. And commanders are saying, well, if I can't evacuate my wounded, I'm going to surrender, because otherwise the wounded will die. And so they call the Russians, and they all speak Russian, and tell them on the radio, look, I've got 50, 60 wounded here. I'm going to surrender because I don't want them to be killed. And the Russians, from the very beginning, have always treated the Ukrainian soldiers very fairly and very gently. And so they know they're not going to be abused or mistreated. They know they can actually be exchanged for Russian prisoners in the future. So they surrender. And I think we're going to see this army that we've been spending so heavily on increasingly melt away. And at the same time, as we're talking, if you look at this long banana-shaped strip of territory in southern Ukraine that the Russians control, if you go to the northeastern corner of that, south of this city called Kharkiv, there are major offensive operations taking place there right now. And the Ukrainian forces are being swept away in front of the Russians. And again, all of this happens in a way that is just not reported in the West. And in the meantime, rather than admit that this is a terrible tragedy that should be ended on humanitarian grounds, if no other, that the killing should stop, as President Trump said, stop the killing, we're going to continue. And this puts the Russians in the unhappy position of marching further west, because from the very beginning, Putin and his advisors were never interested in a war with NATO or the United States. That's why you've had such incrementalism, this slow grind of movement forward, defensive operations for a long period to build up the force, and then continued offensive operations. They have over 300,000 combat troops in reserve in Russia. And I think they're sitting there and not being released to fight because President Putin anticipates the possibility that we will intervene in Western Ukraine. And if we intervene in Western Ukraine, the Russians will be ready for that. And the consequences for us and for NATO will be devastating because we are not ready to fight the Russians. Why? Oh, I think the readiness has been on the decline for a long time. You've had an almost steady, uninterrupted decline in the discipline that makes soldiers fight. Discipline is a tough thing. We don't always understand it. Discipline is really a form of habit. And you build those habits over time through repetition, but you also build it under stress, under pressure, so that it sinks in. And then you build cohesion within the framework of those units. You don't build cohesion when you're dividing the force on racial grounds, when you're pushing people who are clearly unqualified up the ranks to command, when you're rewarding people for anything other than demonstrated character, competence, and intelligence. All of those things are demoralizing, destructive to military establishments. The Army and the Marines are suffering with it. So is the Air Force and the Navy. And there's no easy fix. And these cracks, they're just cracks at the moment, will become giant fissures if you go to war.
So you spent the bulk of your adult life as an Army officer, went to West Point, commanded troops in battle, you're a combat veteran, decorated. But you entered the Army right at the tail end of Vietnam.
That's right.
When it was famously at its nadir.
Yes.
How would you compare the readiness of the current U.S. Armed Forces to, say, 1975 at the end of Vietnam?
I think that in terms of morale and discipline, we are close to where we were in the late 70s. We have a lot of people that are confused about what needs to be done. We've lost a sense of what's right. In other words, you don't have people that have served long enough in formations to know what right looks like, so that you can see a battle group, whether it's a battalion size or brigade or larger, and you know what makes things work. You know what it takes to fight in battle. We don't have very many people like that because since 2001, most of the fighting has been on a very small scale against a fleeting enemy. You know, running around in sandals with an AK-47 relying heavily on explosives mines to kill and maim Americans. About 87% of our losses were really a result of explosives that came from mines. This is not an army that is accustomed to fighting anybody who can fight back. If I were going to compare it to an army, a better comparison would probably be the French army before the Franco-Prussian War, because the French had fought Mexican bandits, Mexican rebels. They'd fought Arab bandits, Arab insurgents. They had a little experience fighting disgruntled, demoralized European troops, Austrians in northern Italy, but they hadn't faced a truly modern enemy. But people were convinced that the French army was the greatest army in the world because they'd fought in North Africa, Indochina, Mexico, all over the world. That war was a catastrophe for France, and that army was decimated in months by a Prussian army that was a modern force, highly disciplined, very competently led, trained, and equipped. So we're not there. We have equipment that is decades old. The tanks that I served on, for instance, when I went to war in 1990, were virtually brand new, state-of-the-art. Those tanks are still out there. They've been rebuilt, but they're not new anymore. They're no longer as capable as they once were. You know, I'll give you a quick example. We have a turbine engine in the A1 series tanks. And that turbine engine burns up as much fuel sitting still as it does moving, because it's a turbine engine. It was designed to be used on an aircraft. We put them in the tanks. So that means you've got an 8-hour tank. Every 8 hours, if you're operating, you've got to refuel this thing. This thing also burns fuel at a very, very high temperature, over 1,000 degrees. And there are 40-plus connections around the engine that are very brittle, that can easily cause fires if they touch these little tubes that carry various types of fluid, if they actually touch this engine that's burning so hot. It's so hot that you can track the movement of U.S. Army ground forces with tanks from low Earth orbiting satellites. So if you think you're going to hide or conceal yourself or outpace somebody, you're just a glowing target from space. To this must be added the ridiculousness of not having replaced that engine with a reliable, state-of-the-art diesel-electric engine, which is much cooler, which can go for 24 hours or more without a refuel. And these things are extremely problematic when you go to war, because you have to pull forces back, refuel them, return them to the front. That's not easy to do when you're operating as frequently as every 8 or 6 or 9 hours. They say, well, we put it all, I guess, a generator on there to make up for this when you're sitting still. The problem is that you don't sit still for very long in combat, because if you do, you're going to be targeted and destroyed. And that, of course, is what we're seeing in Ukraine. Persistent surveillance from space, from overhead surveillance, makes everything visible all the time. So if you're going to embed yourself in the ground, if you're going to set up a permanent position there where you try to fire from that, you're going to be targeted and destroyed very, very quickly. So that's why this defense right now looks a lot like World War I, because anybody who moves is identified and killed. The only limitation on your ability to target and destroy the enemy is ammunition. The Russians, of course, have no shortages whatsoever. You recall at the beginning of this, we have all these shortages, right? The Russians can't keep up with missiles. The Russians can't keep up with shells. Well, they have multiple manufacturing facilities operating 7 days a week at 24 hours a day. We have no surge capacity in the United States. It would take us many, many months to come up to that kind of standard where we could actually compete in high-end conventional warfare. And that's why people like me and others worry that if we get into a confrontation, that we cannot win, because the world has changed, warfare has changed, integrated air defenses will knock virtually everything that flies out of the sky, that we will then fall back on a nuclear deterrent, a tactical nuclear weapon that says, if you keep advancing, we'll have to use a nuclear weapon. We don't want to go there, because the notion that there are so-called tactical nukes, you've heard that expression?
Yes.
Oh, that's just a little nuke. So that won't precipitate a major war. The use of any nuclear weapon is going to precipitate escalation very rapidly, because your opponents will assume that if they don't use their nuclear weapons, they're going to lose them. So we're living in a terrible dilemma right now. The smartest thing that we can do is end this war.
What is Russia's objective, do you believe? assuming that objectives change over the course of the war.
Let me just say, I mean, Colonel McGregor is one of the few sober minds addressing these issues. And he's got more to say with Tucker, of course. The interview, I think, runs close to an hour. I put it up on my Twitter at Jim Fetzer. You can find it elsewhere. But the fact of the matter is, we have a ridiculous situation. Military contractors have obviously designed tanks that have, like, jet engines in them that are ridiculous. They can be spotted from the air by low Earth orbit. They know everywhere we are. They only have this very limited 8-hour capacity, and then you got to pull them back and refuel. I mean, this is absurd. And the idea that we could fight a war with Russia, I mean, the whole thing was grossly misconceived. The NATO, the morons who run NATO, including the United States, apparently thought that if they beefed up Ukraine, it would be able to deal with Russia, not anticipating all the advances Russia had made in the meanwhile. And are Russians cleaning their clock in Ukraine, and the United States are going to step up? Brandon, the situation is, I see it, completely absurd. If we were to seek to intervene directly militarily, we'd get our butt whipped. Your thoughts?
Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay, well, my thoughts on that are probably fairly predominant currently, meaning that hypersonic missiles, we all have, well, I don't know about France, and I don't care about France, quite frankly, no pun intended, but the Chinese, the Russians, the Americans all have hypersonic missiles. If we're going to go tango and do the Macarena and the Devil's Lair, then we get what we have paid for, and we have paid for something that we have not sought. Is that basically your understanding? Oh, by the way, that radar coming out of Duluth is, I have been tracking that UW Wisconsin NEXRAD radar. If any of your listeners want to hit it before it loops off of there and it's gone, but I have never seen anything quite like that radar signature coming out of your old alma mater. And there are also some anomalous blips down where it'll kind of blank out in Texas right now. So if anyone can, all you have to do is look up in any search engine UW, and then NEXRAD, N-E-X is an X-ray, R-A-D, and it'll bring it up. Hit the loop button on for the entire lower 48, and hopefully it is still there. It looks like it is. But I have taken so many screen caps and monitored video of anomalous steering types of abilities. So in other words, you really need very little output to manipulate in a combined effort. We'll get into it later, but if I'm only bringing that up because it's happening right now. So they're beaming at that storm system that is to the south of you. And it looks like more of a push than a pull. Now, there are sometimes you'll see things that are almost like a beam that's pulling. And if anyone is a weather geek like myself and my fiance and my brother, you will almost always see out of Marquette, Michigan, this constant beam stuck in the southeastern direction. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, tell us, give us a little context, Brandon. Why what are we seeing there? What's going on? This weather phenomenon appears to be highly abnormal. Spell out a little bit more about the context of what we're observing here.
Okay, so to put it in context, so I'm sure a lot of your listeners have seen the initial documentary, What in the World Are They Spring? Right. So the meteorologist from that film named Scott Stevenson and I have gone back and forth many times regarding Nextra, it's composite radar. And he was, some things I understood what he was saying, that you'll get fluttering in the atmosphere where the rate where the Nextra is only hitting it once in a while, but I've never, what's on there right now, never once since 2007 have I ever seen anything like that, right out of Duluth, no less. But so what you're seeing, in my belief, so I contacted him a few years later and I said, well, Scott, I disagreed with you before. He didn't like Dutch sense, and that's a different topic. But I said, I know what you were talking about back then. I'm sending you screen caps, though, that are, they were motion GIFs, and explain these to me. And he could not explain them. I sent them to WKOW, former chief meteorologist, John Ziegler, one of my all-time favorites. Actually, he got a better job. How about that? And he gave me question marks and emojis, as in CYA, as in I'm not going to comment on that at all. So if anyone does look at that radar from UW-Madison and captures it in video format, it's quite unique. And I think my brother is, yeah, he got it and I got it. So anyway, it was
Brandon, what are the dimensions of the weather that it's showing that it's captured on this system?
So, and if you're getting that spray, that kind of open-ended, kind of a like a you know, like a an Asian flip-out fan to cool yourself, you know, it's about that width. It's about 40 degrees wide coming out of Duluth, and I believe that they are steering in conjunction with different. Another program, I believe that they are steering that system to go and head towards Indiana, Ohio, New York State, and Pennsylvania. And I believe that they're going to experience what we can talk about later in a different type of snow. And what I mean by that is, it is what Dane Wigington said. You've been driving through snow all of your life in the north, and all of a sudden, it isn't the snow that you remembered. So,
tell us more. Brandon, listen, we're on it. I don't mind switching away from the discussion of Ukraine. We can return. We can go back and forth. You switched topics because the weather pattern that was being displayed was about to disappear. I think
fine. It was going to fall off.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean a different type of snow? Does that mean it's going to be somehow more slippery? It isn't going to melt. It's going to be semi-permanent.
Yes.
Tell me.
Yes, and I just experienced that two nights ago. There was maybe some flurries forecasted. Well, brand spanking new tires on a very proper all-wheel drive vehicle. I mean, 2 weeks ago, they got the tires, and it was just a tiny bit of dusting flurries. And I was almost sideways. The pitch and yaw, I mean, okay, it's back country roads, but that doesn't matter. It's called surfactants. There are some sort of surfactants in the snow. So basically, if you look up chemically nucleated snow, which is forming at above 40 degrees Fahrenheit, that is exceptionally abnormal. That, I mean, that just doesn't exist. You ask any meteorologist, they probably won't even opine if they want to keep their job, I would say. But it acts like a shale type of a flake almost. So when I would much rather have 3 inches of normal snow on an unplowed road than 1/16 of this surfactant type snow.
Brandon, it sounds like we're being subjected to a form of chemical warfare. I mean, this new snow, I take it, is going to cause a huge amount of accidents. Is it going to be impossible to even drive in it? Is it going to be so slippery you can't get traction? Tell us a little more about the physical effects.
Well, yeah, funny. If you know what's going to happen because, let's say someone is plausibly making that situation occur, you can like shorting the stock market. You can, it's gambling, but you hold all the cards and the dealer's on your side. So there's that aspect.
Brandon,
there's also
Brandon, we're hitting a break. We'll be right back after this break with Brandon talking about weather warfare, and we'll return to other news developments as we proceed. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Before we continue our conversation with Brandon about this new kind of snow, let me interject about Ukraine. Andrew Anglin has a brilliant piece on UNZ Review, that's UNZ.com, about what happened at the WEF in Davos. For me, he writes, the most important and most bizarre thing was Zelensky introducing a peace plan. It's difficult to understand how this was even real. He showed up again in his costume because he can fly to Switzerland and check into a hotel, but he doesn't have time to put on a suit. This is the most sickening, absurd, childish thing that all these global leftists are so aroused by this man going around the world in his costume. He continues, during his speech, he did not beg for money and weapons. That's the first time I've seen him do that. Instead, he touted a peace plan, which is simply incomprehensible. The three-point plan goes as follows. Russia will totally leave the former Ukraine, including Crimea. Russia will pay reparations to Ukraine for the war. Russia will submit its top authorities to a war crimes tribunal. Yeah. No joke, you can go read the New York Times article about it where they pretend this is somehow a serious business. Brandon, I mean, this is a joke. I mean, we fought this war, killed maybe 500,000 Ukrainians, 10%, 50,000 Russians, and all for naught, according to Zelensky, wants Russia just to pull back as though the war was fought for no purpose whatsoever. I mean, this is absurd. Your thoughts?
I agree, and thank you for letting me interject. I just wanted to, I think that the radar still currently, it's displaying that, and I appreciate that for letting me cut in. I just wanted people who... visually, it would mean more regarding what we'll talk about later. But regarding Ukraine, well, Zelensky, first and foremost, was he not an actor / comedian?
Yes.
Am I wrong on that? Okay.
No, you're correct.
And
yeah,
and I love his neckties; they're always looking good. That's snarky humor because it's always the olive drab shirt, whatever. But I think that beyond the biolabs, and that could be a topic for another day, that existed partially funded by, who do you think? Maybe us? Beyond that, I think that there is money laundering that is occurring. Zelensky, being with a scathing tone in front of the U.S. Congress of all places, and then in the UN, telling us that we are complicit in genocide if we don't give more billions and billions of, it'll probably reach $1 trillion. That's almost an inconceivable amount of money for most people like myself who are not gifted with mathematic genius. So do you think that all of that money is accounted for?
No, of course, of course. Of course, it's not accounted for. Such feeble efforts have been made to hold the administration accountable or the government of Ukraine accountable have fallen flat. The Senate, of course, voted even against investigating whether Israel was using American weapons to commit war crimes in Gaza. 72 votes in opposition. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. The total abdication, I believe, is in part, explicable because our Congress is Israeli-occupied territory, where Cynthia McKinney back in 2011 on Iranian television explained about the pledge, how new members of Congress are asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of even those of the United States, and virtually everyone signs the pledge. So we got a Congress under control of the Israeli government, basically, and I've suggested on many occasions now, if you just envision Benjamin Netanyahu as our commander-in-chief, then you can understand our foreign policy, and George Soros as our domestic president, what's going on right here in the United States, including the open borders, the lawlessness, non-prosecution, virtual legalization of shoplifting up to $950, the woke agenda, destroying the statues. This is a very systematic operation to destroy the culture of America. And what shocks me, Brandon, is its success. It is moving forward. And while the average American is appalled to the extent he understands what's going on, he feels utterly helpless to do anything about it. And I regard this as one of the many reasons why Trump is experiencing such a massive surge of support. Your thoughts?
Well, you are hitting quite an overarching theme, and it is multifaceted. It is well planned. I remember everyone can hear George Herbert Walker Bush's voice in their head, and when we're successful, and we will be. We'll have a new chance at that new world, world order, whatever. So, yeah. We have to be mindful, I believe, that many public, private, quasi public, and private organizations have been at this for a very long time. If you print the money, money is not an object. So you never have a checkbook balance that you have to worry about. So I believe that the systematic nature of all of these cards falling into place as a master Vegas dealer might be able to do, or a magician, whatever, all the dominoes are falling into place quite succinctly at just the right time. So if you want to talk about the Cloward and Piven strategy, which most Americans don't know about, but it exists and has been around for a long time. It is lockstep. And to get to your point, Jim, is that there has been, money on both sides. People think in this this reptilian or like left, right, up, down, in, out, whatever binary thought process, which is faulty in and of itself or unlucky for us, but it is happening for a reason. And I like to say to people, and I have a great painting Marine General Smedley Butler and his books, War is a Racket, right? Where they tried to subvert him, and the robber barons thought that they could just buy him off or will him off or get him into a position of basically national socialism and take over the country. Well, they lost that one because he was a man of stature, a great Marine. The troops all respected him. And if anyone thinks that this is just, holy cow, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, who could have ever, my Condoleezza Rice, well, who could have imagined that terrorists would fly planes into the Twin Towers or whatever? You know, who could have imagined that this plan is now coming to fruition, which has been in place for 30 years? Your thoughts, how about that? Because you are a Professor McKnight, Professor Emeritus, and have written so many books, I can't even keep up with them.
Well, I'm looking at your weather scan out of Duluth here. It's very interesting. You see all the interstates highlighted. You see Minneapolis, big deal, with a beltline around it. You see all the weather passing over Chicago now, that vicinity. We see Lake Michigan, the tip of Lake Superior. I don't know that there's anything extraordinary on this particular scan.
Oh, there's one that's Midwest, and it doesn't show the big blip. And then there's the national one and the Wisconsin one that do show it. I don't know.
Yeah, I take it I'm on the Wisconsin. Yeah, it's a Wisconsin high-resolution reflectivity composite loop.
Okay, it might have fallen off by now then. But
no, I mean, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. So if anyone was able to capture that, hopefully my relatives did. But anyway, that is now going to be, it might reappear. You might see something out of, let's say, Toronto is a big spike point, actually.
I'm now on the National High Resolution Reflectivity Composite Loop. Pretty big storm, it looks like, coming up from Texas. Something else going on over Southern California. Other activity around Seattle. Those are the primary weather patterns as I interpret this.
Okay, if you catch the Texas, what's going on in Texas, can you see it just for a split second? It's only one frame out of the whatever. It's like 10 frames. And you'll see central northeast Texas, it'll have a blip, and where it kind of like people talk about Google Maps not being able to give you a portion of Antarctica for some reason. It's kind of like that. It's like just like gone. Okay, maybe it's a technological glitch. Okay,
but
got it.
But you're telling us that something very unusual is taking place right now regarding weather patterns in the United States. Do I understand you correctly?
Yes, that is what that's what I believe. And I mean, geez, I don't know. What is it? 15 years now, 14 years of just, I have hard drives full of weather anomalies from around the world, and which I would copy for you. But it's not just the United States and Canada. Well, I mean, you could say Five Eyes and you can say Nine Eyes countries affiliated, but there is some sort of a pressure. It's a pulsing. That's what we call it in my family, actually. It's a pulsation method where it can help steer things. So maybe, Jim, you might remember a clip, if anyone can still find it. It's out there. Hurricane Katrina, where the senior meteorologist said, I have never, ever heard of or seen or studied any evidence where a massive Cat 5 hurricane not only pauses, stays steady, but reverses for a bit and then continues on. And that clip, I recommend presearch.com, presearch.com, and then hit videos and put in Katrina meteorologist backwards. And then in videos, you'll probably find it. So that was a huge deal. It wasn't just whomever the president at the time installed was, his name was Brownie, I think George called him, doing a phenomenal, heck of a job. Yeah, okay, whatever. Doing a heck of a, oh, he was with FEMA, right? But so what I'm saying is I personally know people who did recovery research and Fortune 300 insurance work with photos after Katrina and Joplin, Missouri. And what was described to these people was horrific, but I don't think that, I think it was experimentation, quite frankly. And we should get off of the weather thing for now, but I'm glad that you actually saw that. And I think that that is a steering. That's a push. What you saw splaying out like a ginkgo tree leaf kind of, or like a 40 degree spread.
We've also got, you sent me the link for Mike Adams interviewing Dane Wigington here just about 2 weeks ago. Let's play a part of this.
On Brightown.com, I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brightown, and today a fan favorite guest returned just in time for the Arctic blast that's about to strike the United States. Well, it has already begun. It's Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org. Welcome, Dane. It's great to have you back on.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for your voice on so many fronts, and especially the climate engineering operations above our heads, which there is no place to hide from.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with every more extreme event, people are waking up to the fact that these are being manipulated, that the technology exists. It's in the U.S. Patent Office. You've documented it, that, you know, weather modification, it used to be considered a fringe conspiracy theory. Now it's just everyday news about what's happening in Dubai, for example. So what do you think is happening with this big Arctic blast situation that's unfolding right now for North America?
Well, it's interesting they put labels on these engineered storms like that. The Arctic blast straight out of the record warm Gulf of Mexico. And they pushed this moisture, they manipulated up the eastern seaboard, wrap it around a counterclockwise spinning low pressure zone, chemically nucleating it the entire way. And as you get further along in this process, you have the ice storm transition zone between the warm flow of Gulf of Mexico moisture and eventually what ends up being various forms of frozen material falling from the sky, chemically nucleated. And this frozen material, Mike, is falling at ever higher temperatures above freezing. It starts falling at far above freezing temperatures. Have you noticed that?
No. How is that possible?
That's a good question. The Weather Channel is going to, climate engineering cover-up actors like those at the Weather Channel are going to great length to trying to explain this away. But now they're routinely showing snow starting at 38, 39 degrees, sometimes 40 degrees or above. We typically see this here in our part of California when they're nucleating over us, and they are right now as well. So as this process continues, if they continue the chemical ice nucleating cloud seeding operations, the surface temperatures do drop, sometimes precipitously, depending on how much of this they apply and how long they apply it for. But if any of your listeners are watching Weather Channel or other climate engineering cover-up agencies, they're seeing this now routine listing of snow beginning to fall at far above freezing temperatures. So again, they should question this. The laws of physics have not changed, but we know from chemical ice nucleating patents that they can nucleate ice at temperatures of 10, 12, 14 degrees above freezing. And this is a very elaborate science, if you will, chemical ice nucleation. And people think it's always a given. It happens at 32 degrees. I'd encourage them to think of their first aid kit, Mike, with a chemical cold pack in it. I know you know what those are, and you can sit on a shelf at room temperature for decades. When you mix those chemicals together, you have ice instantaneously. They're doing this on an unimaginably massive scale into cloud moisture right now.
Okay, so they can induce then all the hazards on the ground that come with extra ice and extra snow. What about this cold blast? Now, we're told that this Arctic air that's entering North America at minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit is blasting down from the Northwest all the way across the Midwest and the North Midwest, and it's even going to reach Texas and Louisiana, apparently, in a few days. And we're told that these temperatures will be, in some areas, a relative minus 58 degrees compared to the normal average for this time of year. And that's in, I think, Wyoming and in Oregon, it's going to be like minus 30 or 35 compared to normal. Those are relative temperatures. But they tell us there's some kind of like high pressure warm spot over the North Pole or something that's causing this. I don't know. It never seems to make any sense. What do you think is happening?
This is a complex scenario. As far as the cold air goes, they're robbing Peter to pay Paul, so to speak. Yes, they're pushing cold air south, but cold air, a surface layer that they have helped to create by placing an ionosphere heat-induced high-pressure dome over the west and forcing much of the Pacific moisture clockwise up and around that dome, then ends up in Alaska and circulating again clockwise around that. They're chemically nucleating the whole way. They have created a pool of surface cold air in parts of BC and parts of central Canada. They're pushing that south, combining that with a warm flow of moisture from the Gulf of Mexico. Again, and that's circulating around a counterclockwise rotating low pressure zone where they're chemically nucleating it. And again, it's extremely obvious. If your listeners are watching Weather Channel, for example, they go to great length with many CGI diagrams to try to explain away why it's snowing on the surface at 40 degrees, and it's becoming ever more ridiculous as they try to cover the tracks of the climate engineers.
So, Dane, this is windy.com right now today. I just want to bring this up so you can comment on it. It's kind of what you're talking about, this warm.
Now, in this particular case, on this particular scenario, okay, what you're seeing there, and that's a great diagram to show. You don't have any organized moisture coming into the west. What you have is a very heavily nucleated drifting mass of moisture. You have it scattering, or frequency transmissions scatter that moisture over the widest possible area. That's part of solar radiation management, part of geoengineering. So what we end up with here in Northern California, Mike, is constant days of freezing, drizzle, drippy, no organized rain, no wind of anything to speak of here. And with the wind, it's either on or off. And in the heavily nucleated areas where they're sensationalizing these snowstorms, they definitely have the wind turned on. And they can do that by manipulating atmospheric pressure zones. So now what you see with these theaterized storms, Winter Storm Ember that just happened, Winter Storm Finn that's happening now, there's increasingly higher velocity surface straight line winds, which helps to augment the effectiveness of the endothermic reacting elements that are being seeded into the cloud moisture. So to simplify that, fire hosing moisture into the west and nucleating that to create a cool air pool on the surface, same thing in Canada, combining those two with the flow of warm moisture from the record warm Gulf of Mexico, chemically nucleating that, and they're trying to create as many sensationalized headlines as they can. And this is important to understand that as they're doing this to skew people's understanding of the true state of the climate, every single engineered cool down they create, Mike, comes at the cost of an even further damaged climate overall.
Wow. So it seems like this is sort of weather terrorism. I mean, this is designed to achieve maximum destruction. Is crop destruction part of this goal?
Certainly. You mentioned earlier, Mike, at the hazards that this creates. So you see how many traffic accidents there are now, and certainly we would expect a snowy road to be slick. When you have surfactants in this mix, and we do, our lab testing has proven this again and again, Surfactants, for those that don't know what that is, it's what makes soap. It changes the molecular tension of water molecules. So you end up with what is, in essence, soaked snow. So people who think they knew how to drive on snow now don't. It's a very different composition. And that composition can change from region to region, depending on what they're seeding, depending on what the atmospheric conditions are. But it is very unlike normal, naturally nucleated snow. And we now see a tremendous amount of pileups. 100-car pileups are now routine because of this surfactant-soaked snow.
Okay, now, Dane, I want you to comment on this. Show my screen, guys, because I went to this website, ventusky.com, and I fast-forwarded to the projection for this coming Sunday evening. Now, look at this, Dane. Look at this.
Okay, can you leave that on the screen?
Yeah, let's leave it on the screen. Go ahead.
Okay, you see on the upper left,
yep,
you see a clockwise rotation of that moisture coming back
over here.
BC. You have some coastal deflection, but you see it rotating clockwise.
Yep.
And then you see the moisture coming back down into central Canada, by the U.S. border. That cool air pool, this is what is scheduled to keep in mind. So this is the scheduled weather, and you have some of the weather disseminating agencies, including Ventusky, may or may not have the latest updated script. That one looks updated because if you look at the NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, long lead forecast, what they did show about 5 days ago was that massive cool zone to be over the western U.S. as well. They've changed that, and now they're centering it more over the middle of the country with an extreme departure from normal. What they show is the maximum of 7-level departure from normal surface temperatures in the central U.S. If they can achieve that, that would be about 35 degrees below average.
We'll be right back. We'll continue our discussion about weather warfare with Brandon and other news of the day. We'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Brandon, give us your take. I mean, is it 100 car pileups that they're after? Is this just one way, more way of creating damage and allocating resources we don't have to make life in America more difficult, to undermine the economy? Well, what's your take on the big picture here? What do you think is going on? Why would they bother with this?
Again, thank you, Jim, for letting me talk about that. What I believe, personally, is that they want to, what I was getting at was, I was agreeing with a point you were making earlier, which was essentially that you to take the world under complete control, or mostly, you have to get rid of the United States as we know it. To do so, you have to get rid of the middle class. You have to get rid of the Second Amendment. You have to get rid of the Constitution. We are a major blockade as middle class freedom loving Americans. And so in the Western countries, quote unquote. So this pre-planned or fomented migrant movement has been well thought out. And so when you extract culture from a society and make it nebulous, and you hit just when you think you got a left hook, you're getting a righty in your jaw, right? A right uppercut. So you never know which way is up. So you're reacting, which is driving me nuts, that people are reacting so often to what they shouldn't be. So I don't care about, you know, the talking heads on whatever cable news network you want to pick. That is complete and utter a waste of time. What is going on behind the scenes is what they are paid not to say. So controlled opposition, if you want to say that, fine. But we're looking at the a major dismantling of societies which have stood in place for millennia in some cases. And that is how you have to, it's the age old mantra of Hegelian dialectic problem action solution, or just the enemy of my enemy is my friend, or so on and so forth. What do you think?
Oh, something along that line. There's so much going on here in this effort to take down America. And of course, you mentioned the Claude Piven plan, which is to overwhelm the economy. All economists know that you cannot combine a welfare state with open borders. So what's going on now is combining a welfare state with open borders and millions upon millions are pouring in. Trump seems to me to be the only guy who can set things right. And I know, I mean, he has his flaws, but I think that the American people seem to agree if anyone can right the ship of state, it's Donald Trump. But the Democrats are doing everything they can to undermine it. Get this. There was a media blackout. CNN and MSNBC would not even broadcast his victory speech. I mean, for crying out loud, when have we had such absurdities as this? They're telling us on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow vaguely alluded to the decision to not broadcast the speech at all, asserting that there was a reason for news organization to avoid giving an unfiltered live platform to Trump. Maddow justified the choice by claiming there's a cost of broadcasting knowingly untrue things, attempting to portray the decision as principled. The irony of Maddow's statement, considering her media's track record, was not lost on observers. Critics pointed out the inconsistency of MSNBC's claim to avoid airing untrue things given past instances of biased reporting. The incident underscored the ongoing reluctance of certain media outlets to provide unfiltered coverage of Trump, revealing a persistent bias that shapes her editorial decisions. How can she know what he's going to say is untrue if he hasn't even said it? I mean, this is just so absurd. What they're trying to do is contain a man whose appeal to the American public has proven to be enormous, and Democrats are at another loss. I mean, they've thrown everything at him. They've had double impeachments. They've had Russiagate. They've had January 6th. They've had, now, what, 91 criminal indictments? But none of them, not one of them, is based on law or fact. Indeed, in New York, with that E. Jean Carroll thing, they actually had to have the state legislature introduce a special bill to allow her to bring the suit, even though it had the statute of limitations had long since expired. And there are those who know Bergdorf Goodman and who know, you know, New York at the time. I mean, her whole scenario was frankly absurd. She couldn't even remember the year. I mean, show me a woman who's been raped who cannot only remember the year, but the month, but the week, but the day, but the minute when she was raped. And in Bergdorf Goodman, all she would have had to do would be to call out. He even pointed out that her claim that she was raped standing up is pretty tough to take, because physiologically that's quite a challenging, you know, arrangement of bodies. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I don't have, because I do own most of your books, but who doesn't who was alive at the time, which I was not exactly, but who doesn't remember where they were on the day that JFK was assassinated?
Yeah.
And I'll always throw that one out there at people. I don't care, Republican, Democrat. It's a uniparty. It's a unitard uniparty now. And pretty much everyone knows that. It just, we can just say Lindsey Graham and John McStain, whatever. It doesn't matter. That's what does Gerald Celente always say? I love it. He quotes, politics is nothing more than show business for ugly people. So, we're looking at basically who gets bought off and, or who gets really blackmailed, railroaded. Senator Feingold's staff, some of whom I knew fairly well, and they all would come into my place of business, and they said, and we were discussing the swamp, let's say, and I said, and Senator Feingold was right next to me. He was the last person to have a cigar in my restaurant. Anyway, before they banned smoking. But I said out loud, well, you know what I think is anytime you go to a DC cocktail party and someone says, hey, just hang out for a little while, we're going to have an after party and you're invited. That's when you run. I mean, it's absurd. I know I got off topic about that.
That's not a problem. Listen, a latest poll number out of New Hampshire, this was back on Saturday before DeSantis withdrew, had Trump with 51.8, Haley 35.4, DeSantis 6.4. He has, of course, withdrawn. And Trump has been very gracious, saying he's honored, very honored, to have Ron DeSantis' endorsement. Here's a bit from Breitbart about it. Former President Donald Trump is very honored to have the endorsement of Governor Ron DeSantis. He said in a statement following the news that the governor had suspended his presidential campaign and endorsed him. Very honored to have his endorsement, he said, to Fox, turning his attention to unifying behind the defeat of President Biden. But I'm convinced Biden, they can't run Biden again. I mean, his poll numbers, if they were honest, would be around 4%. I mean, it's ludicrous. I look forward to working together with him to beat Joe Biden, who is the worst and most corrupt president in the history of our country. I agree with that. Trump's reaction came shortly after DeSantis formally announced his exit, stating in a video statement on Twitter that he does not see a clear path to victory at this point. Yes, yes. It's clear to me, DeSantis said, a majority of Republican primary voters want to give Donald Trump another chance. That's putting it mildly. And, of course, we're getting a lot of very, very bad reports about Nikki Haley, dark money fueling her campaign. Here's a doozy, Information Liberation reporting. Nikki Haley, the Daily Mail ran this, and the Daily Mail, of course, out of the UK, is very good at scandalous reporting. I mean, they give you really every detail. Nikki Haley cheated on husband Michael with two separate men. Her actual name, and she's born in India, Nimrata Randhawa, Nikki Haley, cheated on her husband with married South Carolina lobbyist Larry Merchant, as well as with communication director Will Folks, according to a report from the Daily Mail. Here is part of what they published. presidential candidate Nikki Haley falsely denied cheating on her husband when she was accused of engaging in two extramarital affairs during a gubernatorial campaign, multiple sources who work with her claim. New witnesses have come forward telling Daily Mail that Haley's denials of the two affairs are false and that the supposed trysts were brazen and widely known among South Carolina politicos. Will Folks, 49, and Larry Merchant, 61, both signed affidavits. These guys have signed affidavits alleging they had sexual relationships with a then South Carolina lawmaker before she went on to make. That's not going to endear her to a lot of voters, Brandon. It seemed to me you can stick a fork in Nikki Haley. She's done.
Absolutely. She was done before she was done. And don't put that in italics. And
yes. Yes.
But I mean, who do you, male, female, I don't care. Who wants to climb that ladder? I don't know. I don't even know. When people, the talking heads that we all know the names of, right? And they're talking about daily, on a daily basis, the District of Criminals, DC, 202 area code. And my eyes just glaze over because they cannot see the forest for the trees. You can, sure. But I mean, I don't know anyone, even Vivek had a golden spoon in his mouth when he was born, pretty much, as I understand it. So there's a boys club that he was a part of, and, you know, it's like Yale. It's like Skull and Bones, which you shouldn't really say unless you want to get the Tim Russert dirt nap. But anyway. Hey, Jim, do most of your listeners, I don't know everyone who's out there, but do they know all the work that you did on the assassination of Paul Wellstone?
Oh, I don't know, Brandon. Listen, I got to correct myself. She was actually born in Bramberg, South Carolina on January 20th, 1972. Her age is now 52. Her space spouse is Michael Haley, and of course her parents were Indian.
Huh.
116th governor of South Carolina. You know, another scandal of this order is with this Fannie Willis down in Fulton County, who's running the ridiculous claim against Trump for saying to the governor or the secretary of state, we got to find those votes, you know, meaning he wanted them to check to make sure all the voting was authentic. And they've turned that into an alleged effort to overturn the election. Where it turns out that is Fannie Willis had actually hired to prosecute Trump, an attorney with no previous RICO experience, certainly nothing high profile. I don't know if he even ever prosecuted a case. Turns out to be her married lover. I mean, this is ridiculous.
And not only that, Jim, he was charging for a full 24-hour periods. So I'm sorry, you know, maybe you're an insomniac attorney, whatever your name is. But they were charging immense amounts of money. And guess where they? Oh, yeah. And then they went on a vacation, I think, soon thereafter.
Oh, yeah. Here's something from Blaze about it. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis' election interference case against former President Trump in Georgia appears to be fast degenerating. In an apparent act of desperation this week, the Black Panther's daughter lashed out at her alleged lover's wife, Jocelyn Wade. The Democrats' lawyers accused Jocelyn Wade in a Thursday court filing of obstructing the controversial case against the Republican frontrunner and attempting to damage Willis's reputation. Troubles began to mount for Willis on January 8th when a court motion to disqualify her filed on behalf of one of Trump's co-defendants called Willis out for alleged misconduct and possible criminality. It also provided indication to me have been coordination between the Biden White House and the Fulton County DA's office on the case. The motion specifically accused the Democrat DA of both being embroiled in an improper clandestine personal relationship with Nathan Wade, a married attorney whom she ultimately hired to spearhead the prosecution against Trump in his election interference case, and profiting significantly from this prosecution at the expense of taxpayers. The filing alleged that Wade used Fulton County funds received by his law firm to pay for luxurious international and domestic vacations he supposedly took with Willis. Willis has not yet explicitly denied the core allegation, though she did claim before God in an audience at Churchgoer Sunday that she had not given preferential treatment to Wade, a claim that does not appear to be entirely true. Willis's lawyer, Andrea Hastings, reiterated to the AP that any response to the motion will come in a filing with a court, which is yet to happen. Ashley Merchant, the lawyer who filed the motion on behalf of Michael Roman, who was the Trump co-defendant, insinuated there were additional documents of interest in the case filed for Wade divorce proceeding, but she would wait to share the information until a judge unsealed it. I mean, this is so bad.
It's worse. It's worse than a daytime soap opera. Really?
Yes. Yes. Oh, I agree completely. And it's for real. And it was all politically motivated out of spite. And, you know, they had cruises to the Caribbean. They paid for a trysting, it was a condo, an apartment. I mean, the whole thing is just totally shabby. And she actually, in the black church, Brandon, I think she said, you just can't expect a black woman to do everything exactly right. I mean, that was her defense, that she's black and a woman.
No way.
That's just sad. Totally immoral and corrupt. She might as well.
Is that really the quote?
You're not
me here, are you? Okay, because...
That
almost sounds like a I can't even say her name. Hillary Clinton say at some commencement speech where she says, "I don't feel no way tired." Whatever. I mean the level of insult, I think, is beyond irony. Jim, do you have any feelings about South China Sea at some point in the future? Maybe we can talk about it, but seems like hot water, because I'm getting reports from people who actually live in Taiwan. Expensive text messages, and they said they don't feel very easy.
You need to run this by me again. Here we have one of the attempts to defend her. Black female prosecutors like Fannie Willis face the unequal burden of both racist and sexist attacks. See, she's just being attacked because she's black and because she's a woman, not because she took... You know, I think it must run up to $1 million or so on her married lover, boyfriend, and trips they took together. Brandon, that had nothing to do with it. And she just being targeted because she's black and a woman. Didn't you know? Isn't it obvious?
Sacre bleu. which no French people actually say anymore. But that's making me think about the fact that I have triple the amount of, or double the amount of Native American blood as Pocahontas does. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Fetzer, what? That's German, right? So.
Yeah.
German. But we all have a little bit of Native American or whatever.
Here's more, Brandon. Fannie Willis cloaks herself in God and race to say she's above criticism. It's unfortunately commonplace to see the most powerful people in our government wear the cloak of unaccountability around their shoulders to ward off justifiable criticism. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis wore this cloak with bravado Sunday at Atlantic's historic Black Big Bethel AME Church. After accusations against her of impropriety in an affair with a married special prosecutor she hired to oversee President Trump RICO case, Nathan Wade, circulated for a week, Willis spoke for the first time, giving a 35-minute sermon to the predominantly Black congregation. They only attacked one, Willis lamented. First thing they say, oh, she's going to play the race card, though, but no, God, isn't it them that's playing the race card when they only question one? Why are they so surprised that a diverse team that I assemble, your child, can accomplish extraordinary things? My goodness. The affair accusation came through a court filing made by Trump 2020 campaign official and co-defendant Michael Roman, who argued Willis should be disqualified and the charges against him dropped because the district attorney chose to appoint a romantic partner who at all times relevant to the prosecution has been a married man, said Wade used the nearly $654,000 legal fees the Fulton County DA's often paid to take her on expensive trip to Napa Valley, California, Florida, and the Caribbean. We'll be right back and we'll take your call.
We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Has just gotten a lot deeper. As a newly released set of documents, they expose the fact that Fannie Willis was actually lying when trying to defend her actions in public. And these, by the way, are on top of the fact that Congress has just launched an official investigation into Ms. Fannie Willis.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com. the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Most that you are aware, I'm now my own producer. We do have a call-in line here, area code 608-957-8727. I repeat, 608-957-8727. For those who might like to join in, offer their opinion, comment, questions, whatever, about any of the issues we've been discussing, or perhaps something different. Meanwhile, it turns out that this case of the divorce records and all that has been unsealed, and the Epic Times is publishing. Here's the headline: divorce records for special Trump prosecutor tapped by Fannie Willis unsealed. Special prosecutor was held in contempt for failing to comply with an order, one document shows. Part of what it reports here, Willis has benefited substantially and directly and continues to benefit from this litigation because Wade, the prosecutor, the guy she hired to prosecute, is being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to prosecute this case on her behalf, adding Mr. Wade will continue to be incentivized to prosecute this case based on his personal and financial motives. So he's acquired a unique and personal interests are at stake in Mr. Roman's continued prosecution. Bank records detailed by Ms. Wade in January 19th filing previously disclosed showed that flights for Mr. Wade and Ms. Willis were purchased together, including flights from Atlanta to Miami and Atlanta to San Francisco. The evidence is clear that Ms. Willis was an intended travel partner for some of these trips, as indicated by flights he purchased for her to accompany him. Andrew Hastings, an attorney representing Mr. Wade, said in the filing, a separate hearing is scheduled to take on February 15th on the motion to disqualify Fannie Willis from the prosecution. Your thoughts?
Mine?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just actually looking at some RSS feeds, and while you were talking about that and going back to Haley just for a second, report more journalists than voters at Nikki Haley's events. But
More journalists than voters. That's right.
They
that's
want
like
her. They want. I mean, she's the. Hey, if the turtle Mitch McConnell favors Nikki Haley, you got to glean something from that. And yes. Lindsey Graham. So they tell you what not to do, essentially. So whatever they're espousing, just turn the other way 180 degrees. So
here's by the way, a telling article. Faced with looming defeat in Ukraine, NATO wants World War III to prevent it. Lasting nearly half a century, the first Cold War brought the world to the edge of a new abyss, one that would have made World War II look like a bloodless skirmish by comparison. Despite not starting it in order to prevent the total destruction of the world, Russia initiated its end. It willingly dismantled the Warsaw Pact and the USSR, renouncing immense power, an historically unprecedented move no other superpower in history ever made. And how did the political West see it? Purely as a sign of supposed weakness. Not only did the U.S.-led belligerent power proclaim victory in the ideological struggle where Moscow had renounced communism, it also wanted a total defeat for Russia and its people. In the 30-plus years, it sent everything the United States and its vassal and satellites did was in line with this goal. The world's most aggressive military alliance expanded approximately 1,000 kilometers to the east. It should be noted this was done despite clear promises not to move an inch toward Russian borders. Even many Western politicians, experts, and pundits expressed concern and protested NATO's eastward expansion, warning this would inevitably force Moscow to respond. However, leaked information suggests this is precisely what the political West wanted, as evidenced by revelations published by WikiLeaks. How do we know it's true? Well, its founder is suffering a horrible fate for publishing the secret data, and yet, despite the world knowing all this, NATO is determined not only to continue its aggression, but is also openly escalating it. Namely, on January 18th, Dutch four-star admiral Rob Bauer, chairman of NATO's military committee, publicly stated that the belligerent, the Lassocratic alliance, is preparing for war with Russia and that people in Europe should do so as well. Bauer is among the highest-ranking NATO officials. His announcement should be taken extremely seriously. While he assessed the coming conflict would happen in the next 20 years, the move the belligerent alliance is making indicate it could come at any point. Following a meeting of NATO defense ministers in Brussels, Bauer told reporters, Western governments should start preparing for war with Russia, including by training civilians how to act when it starts. I mean, Reagan, this is so awful. This is so disgusting. And yet that's exactly what the West has become. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that's what they want. That's when a rabid animal is cornered in a garage. I actually grew up with raccoons, as a matter of fact, as pets until they got too old. But anyway, so it makes me think about, they have few cards to play. I mean, they have the game plans, sure. It reminds me of, and I'm not biblically savvy as much as many other people are, but Book of Revelations, you know, the passage about wars and rumors of wars. Well, it just seems to me that it's quite apparent that they need that strife to get people back on their heels, not know what's going on. Who doesn't know someone or ourselves who are just trying to figure out this entire, when people call it the quickening, I say the quickening already happened. This is high speed now. So we're looking at a potential strife and warfare from nearly every angle. Don't you think, Captain Fetzer?
Yes.
important security message.
I think so.
Your computer
I think you're right. Yep.
Your IP address was
I got a ridiculous website. I was looking for another story to share, and you know, they put so much advertising on the internet now, you can hardly escape it. Really bad.
Yeah, it's like getting phone calls from potential spam.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I don't even look at the phone anymore unless I hear that someone left a voicemail. So,
yes.
And I understand being a self-produced, how that might go. I don't want to cut into your caller's time.
No callers, Brandon, as yet. I mean, they're welcome, but it just varies, you know, it's unpredictable.
What do you think? May I ask you this, your opinion on, I remember Alex, we say sometimes braggadocious fatneck Alex Jones, he introduced me to a lot of journalists over the years, probably 22 yeah. years now, 23
yeah.
years, and which is great, but I remember probably about 18 years ago, he was trying to decide where the hell would I move to if I could to escape what I know is coming.
Yes.
And a lot of people are calling me, you know, patting me on the back after COVID-19. And I'm sure you get the same thing. Oh, vindicated, or, oh, geez, I'm sorry. Maybe you were right. I don't know where is a safe place in the entire world to be. Do you?
No. I'm afraid they've covered all the bases. You know, actually, yeah, Russia might be a safe place, relatively speaking. Russia is the most powerful military force on Earth today. Russia, in my opinion, is interested in peace and living in harmony with its neighbors, unlike the West, which actually wants to divide Russia into parts and, you know, ravage it for natural resources. I mean, that's the Western way.
Yeah, unofficial military bases that surround the entire country of Russia. I would encourage listeners to look it up. But, I mean, we have soft bases, and we don't need to go into it too far. But what would we do if we were, you know, there were bases of operations, spec ops in Canada, let's say, if it weren't Canada or Mexico or... You know, Carolyn, Barbados or whatever, you know. So the lesser response that has, you know, what has not occurred, you can poke the bear and you can keep poking the bear. And at some point, the bear is going to get pretty pissed off. And I'm surprised at some of the restraint, actually. So when people say Ukraine and, oh, my God, the evil, you know, oligarchs and Putin and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not being a Putin apologist, but sweet mother of pearl, I don't know if the situation were reversed, how... you know, five-star generals in a five-sided building in D.C. would potentially react to things like that. So when was it Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce? I can't remember. Mentioned the king of the East may end up being the savior of the free. Now, is that Putin? No one knows. Whatever. But it still rings in my head that, oddly enough, the Russian people who have, when you want to talk about Holocaust, or deaths overall and what they contributed to World War II, I mean, goodness gracious. I don't speak Russian, but they certainly have a special sort of resilience that I think that the United States of America is, with their TikTok and their smartphones and their reality series, has just fallen into this, I don't know, trance.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, the Russians have been very gradualistic. They've been very kind. The Ukrainian troops know that if they surrender, they're going to be treated well by the Russians, whereas the Ukrainians are killing and torturing Russians they capture. The situation could not be more opposite. I got a request for more weather talk. Brandon, give us further thoughts about weather warfare and so forth in the minutes we have that remain, please.
Absolutely. There exists and has existed many different programs going back to right after World War II. I know that you're quite well familiar with Dr. Nick Begich from Alaska. And his book, Angels Don't Play This Harp.
Right.
And that, so the harp system is a bit antiquated to talk about. It's like talking about Moore's Law of Technology these days. It's outphased itself. So what I'm trying to say is, if you run into someone who is in a decent authority on directed energy weapons and talking about Maui, especially Paradise, just anyone do photo image searches on Paradise, California, you will see, in if your eyes can't see it, then I'll lend you my glasses kind of thing, where homes were burnt to a crisp and trees right next door, and cars too. Cars just totally decimated. And much like a certain date in September of 01, where the abilities that we have had have been used, and I think that the weather warfare combined with so HAARP systems are the global array or the aerial array, high altitude research, and the pushing of the ionosphere back and forth is what people should look at. And when you see something really abnormal happen weather-wise, they can say climate change, but I would request people to look at,
just for those who may be unaware, the whole global warming thing is a myth. I did a series of 10 programs with Joe Olson, who's a brilliant engineer, qualified in multiple fields of engineering, civil, structural, mechanical, I believe also even electrical. And he pointed out that over 600 million years of Earth's history, there's no correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth. Now, if there's no correlation, that means there cannot be a causal relation. A causal relation presupposes a correlation, or at least a high relative frequency of association of what's the presumptive cause with what's the presumptive effect. In its absence, there can be no causal relation. If you go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, just do a search on Joe Olson, global warming, and you'll get access to all 10 of the programs. The fact is that CO2 actually cools Earth in multiple respects and is indispensable for life on Earth, because it's involved in the production of both oxygen and water. So, you know, we're being massively played. It's bullshit on a humongous scale, pretty much up there with a pandemic, with the moon landing and other massive hoaxes to which we've been subjected. Very, very bad, very embarrassing. And by the way, you know, the effort to implement a green agenda is falling flat. There are huge graveyards of electric vehicles. They're not only incredibly expensive, but their production doesn't contribute to green, you know, preserving the earth, because it involves massive kinds of mining that are really quite vicious. It's very expensive. Does more damage than gas and oil ever inflicted on Earth to produce these vehicles. And the batteries are so unbelievably expensive. If you have a problem, you know, you're likely to just junk the whole car. We had a fellow in Denmark, as I recall, just covered it with explosives and blew it up when the battery went out. And it was a high-end electric vehicle. Well, if they come into contact with water in the wrong circumstance, they can burst into flame. They can spontaneously burst into flame. We even had an electric bicycle on a subway burst into flame inside the subway car. You got to spend endless time recharging. They have no traction. You can't really use them to haul a load because the electric motor doesn't sustain what is required to perform that feat. And you wind up spending endless hours sitting on your thumb while you're waiting for your car to recharge. In fact, in the winter, they had so much problem because they couldn't get to the charging stations. And when they did, the charging station weren't working in California, which has been a leader in the field, is encouraging not charging your battery during high volume roadway. Well, that's when you need to have your vehicle get to work and back. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. And that's when they're telling you not to charge. Brandon, it's just absurd.
Yeah, out of Zero Head says average price of a used Tesla tumbles for yet 18 straight months. And what all of the people who really want to do well for the earth and they're concerned about human rights and child slavery and such. Look at the Congo. Look at Nigeria. Look at what they're doing to just mine a tiny bit of rare earth elements to put into these batteries. And then there was a guy, I forget his name, his last name was Taylor, I think, down in Arizona. This was about a month ago. He said he bought, I forget what year it was, but it was all paid off. And the price to repair his batteries was 26% higher than he paid originally for his EV. So, I mean, it's absurd on its face, and no one wants it. GM, Ford, and I think probably Chrysler will follow suit, probably Nissan as well. Toyota just stopped. I think Toyota stopped producing. They said I think we talked about it, but they're going to stop producing EVs. So
they aren't going anywhere. They're not popular. Nobody wants them. This is a nice case where supply and demand is a solution to the problem. There's no demand. Thus, cease the supply. And the government been propping up, you know, the cost here. I mean, there are huge subsidies for producing electric vehicles that eventually have to be passed on to the consumer. But, you know, this government is so irresponsible. It doesn't give a damn about America. It doesn't give a damn about us. And it's full blown in its effort to destroy the country. You can view EVs in that context as well. It's unbelievable.
The George Carlin, it's a big club.
And you ain't in it. Yeah.
It's the destruction of the United States by design. Charlotte Isherbeat's book, rest in peace. I have a signed copy in my hand, actually, right now. The deliberate dumbing down of America. right?
Yeah.
But
so this is a deliberate ruinization of America. Absolutely.
Do you think the Obama girls are going to public school?
Oh, goodness. The last time I saw the Obama girls, they were cavorting in a video with Hunter Biden that had come out of his laptop, and it was not good. It was a big bed, and there they were, and I have no doubt it was the Obama girls, who, of course, are not the offspring of Michael and Barack, because
Big Mike.
Notwithstanding Democratic ideology, two men cannot produce children. They were actually adopted or borrowed from one of Michael's physicians
right.
You know, a diligent student tracked down the parents, and the older girl looks just like her dad, the younger just like her mom. Go ahead.
The side by side with Michael and Michelle, and all those lovely, loving photographs of Barry That's Barack right. and Michael. Holy cow, they are very friendly, and it's one of those situations where once seen can never be unseen. I just don't want to even think about it. But.
Yes. For those who wonder, want more, check out Corruption Galore. It was in my 2020 Volkswagen Conspiracy Conference. Go to my blog, jameshfetzer.org. Look under events and scroll down to Volkswagen Conspiracy 2020. You can actually download all of the presentation. But what I'm inviting you to consider is Corruption Galore, where I explain how they fake these race crimes, you know, the Jussie Smollett and the George Floyd and the Bubba Wallace. Those were all fake. And how, you know, Michelle is Michael LaVon Robinson. Check it out. Meanwhile, thanks for being here, friends, and everyone. Spend as much time as you can with your family, your rent, the people you love and care about, because you do not have a
Thank you for your business channel.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.